Good evening. I call to order this February 17th meeting of the City of Blair Parks Recreation and Cemetery Advisory Board. I am Betsy Anderson, Chairperson of the Park Board, and I am pleased to have you with us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable and will do everything I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help keep us. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step out of the side of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. The secretary must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. Please direct your remarks to me, the park board, or city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we'll begin the roll call of members, please.
Hafer?
Here.
Burns? Anderson?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
Browns?
Here.
Becky?
Here.
All members except Burns are present. I apologize for the agenda. I did not change the name of the chairman, so we will make sure we
correct that next time. Not to worry about that. Okay. Item number three, approval of the minutes from the January 20th, 2026 meeting. Have you had an opportunity to read them? Did you want to add or change anything? Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second?
Second.
All members present voting aye.
Item number four is the budget. Does anyone have any comments or questions about the budget? Item number five, discussion of the installation of a wiffle ball field at Stemmerman Park.
Hi, good evening, Park Board. Before we hear a presentation from Mr. Sweeney, I'm going to invite the mayor up. She'd like to say a few words real quick, if you don't mind.
Please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, if you'd come forward and join me in the front, I'd appreciate it. Sorry to make you walk all the way down here.
That's okay.
We just have a little token of our appreciation for all of your dedication.
Having a hard time knowing what to wear, and I thought this t-shirt
was perfect. I love it. I'll read this to you. I'll read this out loud. This is presented to Niels Jensen in recognition and appreciation of your loyal and dedicated service as a member of the Blair Park Recreation and Cemetery Advisory Board for 28 years. Thank you so much. Thank you, and it's a perfect outfit.
I need to see what it says. Yep.
My wife's the snippy person, so I have multiple.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now I'll turn it over to Nick Sweeney with the Blair Little League, just to present some ideas they had for a wiffle ball field at Stemmerman Park. Not expecting any action on this tonight, just a discussion. See if it's something you'd want to think about putting into the budget next year. So I'll let him take over.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you should have that all the
McSweeney, live at address 29685 Oak Valley Road here in Blair. I am currently president of our Blair Little League. I've been on that Little League board since 2020, a couple different runs as president of that board. Also on the complex board with Dean. So one thing that's kind of come up in some of our Little League conversations of how to improve some of the experience for our families that are at the complex is potentially adding a wiffle ball field area. Biggest issue we've run into is the best place for it is over across the parking lot where the current T-ball fields are. We had those windstorms go through last year. If you've been in Zimmerman Park here in the last 6 months, there's a lot of trees that are down. There's a lot that are still damaged kind of in that area. So one thing we had thought about was currently when we are having games on Wiederquist Field, all the kids get together and they play wiffle ball in that area in Stemmerman Park. They use the trees as bases, and a couple of those trees are gone now. So we wanted to kind of look at the idea of would it be possible, would it be a good investment for our community to put a actual wiffle ball field structure there. Obviously it could be used for things other than just wiffle ball, but I thought, you know, talking with our Little League, we felt like it was the idea of the field would fit in very well with that park, with the baseball fields, softball fields, soccer fields, tennis courts. It fits into that park well. It would also take and improve that park area drastically. So a couple things that I had sent over to CJ here. I put together a Q&A, and I have to apologize for any spelling errors. I put this together in a hotel room in Memphis this weekend at like midnight. So I probably got some spelling errors in there. But through there, a couple things. You know, going through some of the reasoning for why we want to put a wiffle ball field in there. Kids are already using it for that purpose. I think it would enhance that area a lot. It would allow families to have a safe place for their kids to be while games are going on, instead of them running across the parking lot to try to run to an open T-ball field across the parking lot. We also host a lot of out-of-town families and that see our community and see those fields, especially on Wiederquist Field, and it would be a good structure for them to see that we're investing in our parks here in Blair. So, as far as a couple things I have, you can read through, but like safety precautions that would need to be in place, really there's not a lot. We'd have to have some backstop there to keep balls from Wiederquist Field hitting some of those kids that are on the field. We would have to probably increase like a net up off of the first baseline on Wiederquist Field. We've got approval from insurance to, we had that light pole go down to get LED lights on Wiederquist. We do have an opportunity there to potentially even put lights, one light there that can kick back at that field. Kind of want to add in there, we probably have to figure out something on some of the electrical side of it as we go. So, general cost. So I've got a college teammate that owns a turf company. So I had him bid out and probably at a max possible cost, because I told him, hey, if we were going to turf this thing fully from every piece of it, we're going to fence around it. He built it out to about 110 foot from home plate to those fences. The turf work, obviously there's labor in there. There's removing the sod, leveling it, getting drainage through there is about $144,000. They also had a fence company that was about another $27,000 if we fully fenced and closed everything. So about $180,000 price point for the best wiffle ball field we could possibly build. There's obviously a lot of ways that we can reduce that cost down, which I'll talk about here in a second, but a couple of them being we could reduce down the size here, probably closer to 80 to 100 foot from home plate to those spaces. So that would reduce down that turf cost quite a bit. I think on the fencing side, we could get a lot of donated labor to be able to do that work for the fencing. We could also look at the options of shrinking what is actually turfed, which I'll show you a few photos here in a minute, of whether it's just turfing just the infield area or turfing just the kind of the base paths around it. I do think it's important that we look at turfing some of it because kids, if there's just going to be a lot of maintenance costs if it's set up like a regular baseball field without any turf. The other thing that turfing that area kind of gives us the opportunity to do is to provide leagues here in town or opportunities for disabled participants within our programming or within the city, if the city wanted to have any programming up there. Where if we have the turf field where we don't have all the edges and lips that are an issue, we could provide some programming aimed at disabled or handicapped youth players. So, kind of one of the things I put in here before I kind of get to some of the pictures part of it. Currently, this is not something that we're looking at as planning on being a little league field, not planning on moving our T-ball over there. We talked about it, this would be great to have in place for families to be able to use and really increase the value of that park to people coming into town. Like I talked about a little bit, there are opportunities there where if space was available, we could do some T-ball work on there. We could offer a challenger league, which Little League offers, which would be an opportunity there. But at this point, it's not really something we're saying, hey, we want to add another field in this park for us. That's not necessarily what we're after. Some potential funding options, obviously private donors, nonprofit, state, and federal grants that we could apply for. Community Foundation, I talked to a couple people on their board that I think they'd be helpful. And then obviously stuff we do at our current fields. If there's naming rights, obviously our goal would be to get somebody to donate enough money that they might be the person we're naming it after. Or banner sales, what we've done to kind of for continued maintenance service sort of areas. So a couple things I wanted to kind of run through here to show you. So when they put together the idea of the field, the cost structure of the field, the company that did it for fully turf, this is kind of, they sent me a couple 3D kind of models here. So this is kind of the idea of where the field, what the field would look like. So interior, this is if it was all completely turf. These bases would actually be, they wouldn't be up off the ground. It'd be fully turfed where the base is essentially sewed into the ground or a turf base, I should say. Through there. So like I said, when he built this out, he built it out to 110 foot from home plate, 95 foot, 95 foot. I think we can shrink that down realistically and save some cost in there. Because that's probably closer to what we're looking for some football size field area. And then I wanted to show a couple things. So one of the reasons we got the idea of this on the Little League side is, Kearney Little League has their challenger field out there at their complex, and it's always a huge draw for the families out there. They also have their challenger league for players that can be on a safe space out there. So when we kind of looked at some of the opportunities within potentially that area, Kearney Little League's wiffle ball field, challenger league field was something we thought of as we were. So I was going to show a couple of those. So as you can see, even with the Kearney one, they have it marked for some soccer as well in that area. So they kind of use it as kind of a multi-purpose area, kind of safe space for kids to compete. And then a couple other examples quickly. Just another turf field. This is a smaller one, probably about 85 foot on the corners, 90 to 100 in center field. Different ways you can kind of build out fencing around it and so forth. So I talked about opportunities to maybe not turf everything. So there are obviously some here where we're turfing maybe the interior infield areas, those high maintenance areas. We still have to have obviously some sprinklers for outfield and some work to create an outfield structure around that. And then if we were going to look at just the area for, pull this one up, if we're going to look at this area for just an area that did not have turf anywhere, but still we're building a field around it. Obviously, it's very possible and very cost efficient. Some of the things we run into, obviously, currently on our fields, I mean, we're going to have kids driving scooters, which we currently have, driving scooters all over the field, digging holes all over the field. So there's just a lot of maintenance, and then the question becomes, who's taking care of the maintenance? How are we making sure all that stuff's getting done when we're adding in sprinkler costs, obviously mowing costs, conditioner costs, so and trying to keep the field drug and chalked consistently, but it is an opportunity there as well. So the last thing I was going to pull up was kind of the current thought of where work could work. So we've got our complex here. So it could be built in a couple different ways in this area right here. This is built out to where it's about 85 foot to the corners, 100 foot to center field. Here we've got a couple little dugout areas next to it. This was probably one of the spots that disrupts the least amount of stuff currently there, mostly being that sidewalk, the bathrooms, the pavilion areas. So something that can be built currently in this area. There's about, I think, 6 trees currently there. Three probably are still damaged, and will eventually probably be coming out of there anyway. So obviously when we're looking at that, if I'm kicking this back here. This could be something where we're building out on that side, and we're still staying away from this pavilion up here, not having to mess with that, not having to mess with the bathrooms at all, the sidewalk or anything. I'll bring this back out. There are obviously other options as well where we could put home plate here. Foul line this way, foul line this way, and then the field working through here. This area over here, obviously where the old park is, would be somewhat usable. It's just the question of how close do we want to get to the road. And when we do that, this bathroom, probably we're going to have to work around figuring out how to build it out. That bathroom is still there. So, like I said, so the other area when we looked at what options there are. So currently, and we have this happen a lot, where currently, you know, the kids are playing wiffle ball right here a lot of nights. If one of these fields is open over here, especially this one because it's the smallest one, kids tend to try to get over there and they'll go play over there. So we've currently got a whole herd of kids going across this parking lot, which I don't know if you guys ever discussed this parking lot, but it's not the safest parking lot around. So they're currently going across here trying to get over to this field. Parents have no sight on them to really be able to check on them and know what they're doing. So that's why when we're looking at that area, currently kind of having all those trees getting displaced by the windstorm, this seemed like the safest and best area. And we felt like it would fit in with the park's general goals and would upgrade that park drastically. Realistically, when we're looking at cost, like I said, a high-end cost is $180,000 if every single inch was turfed. I mean, that's with one person bidding it. I don't know, you could obviously probably find cheaper there too. And that's including fencing cost and turf cost and everything. Lifespan on a turf, most of the companies are going to have like an 8-year warranty, but they really expect 12 to 15 years, up to 20 on a turf area is really what you get. But with turf, you're also getting rid of any of your maintenance costs, getting rid of your mowing costs, your chalking costs, your dragging costs, your field conditioner, really all those costs and creating a very safe surface for people to play on. So that's kind of what we're looking at and what we're hoping we can get some support for, because we think it could really enhance our community, but really enhance the experience for our families and visiting families coming to Blair. What questions do we have?
What's a challenger?
Challenger. So that's just, so inside the Little League system, since we're one of the official Little Leagues, there's the they have a challenger division. It's much like your minors or your majors. Their challenger division is just aimed at creating a a safe space for disabled and handicapped players to play. You know, with like this structure here, most of the time, those fields that are starting to get into the older ages, they're out to 125 to 150 foot. I mean, they're more realistically getting into a bigger field, but for younger ages, this size would work very well to be able to create. And it might be something we can get some grant money for too, to be able to offer that type of program.
So kids will just go and like make their own pickup games?
So if we did, so realistically, my thought was that kids would just go do their own pickup games, and people want to come up there during the day and use it. Because currently during the day, we get a ton of kids up here playing on these fields. We've got probably 10 seniors that come up here that said they played in a senior slow pitch tournament. That they hit ground balls on these fields, I bet they would be over here probably using this too. Realistically, it's just open for anybody to use. Like I said, if we were going to look at it for any little league divisions, it's something that we could offer that challenger division as a safe space for handicapped players. We could also probably run t-ball out of there as well if there was space, but not necessarily the goal. The goal here is probably more of giving kids something to do, whether at the game safely. So, what other questions do we have?
What is the age of children who play this?
Yeah, so we offer league play for 4 to 15 this year on our fields. So this field right next to it, the Wiederquist Field, that usually houses our 11 and 12 year old leagues. It houses 9 through 12 year old for travel and select play on that field. You typically over here, we're going to have all of our 4 through 8 year olds over in this space. And then we move this field as well. We'll have a 9-10 year old league on this field, but we will typically have 9 through 12 year old select type games there. And then the bigger Hardy field, which looks a bit better than this is when that sprinkler was out. This one, it houses your kind of 13 and up. We also have the high school freshman team typically use that field.
And the wiffle ball court age?
Yeah, so realistically for over here, any age, I mean, adults could use this. If you got a wiffle ball, if you're using a wiffle ball, most of the time you're not going to be able to make it travel more than 100 to 120 foot, even if you're a big, strong guy. So for this age, I know like the 125 foot one Kearney has, all those 11, 12 year old kids that are out there for state, they get over there, and I've watched them. There'll be a couple home runs at 125, but it's too long for them for wiffle ball. And what they do is they just leave out a few wiffle ball bats and wiffle balls in one of the dugout areas. If somebody wants to steal some wiffle balls and bats, then I guess they do. But
is the height of the fence the same as the height of the fences for the other diamonds?
Yeah. So when he put this together, and we'd have options to do a lot of different things, but when he put this together, this outfield fence. This outfield fence is going to be a 4-foot fence, which is what everything else currently is that we have. That backstop, which will be this area here, we'd probably have to put at least probably about a 20-foot fence. Because we do have baseballs, foul balls that'll come from here this direction. So if we add an extension netting on this, create a backstop here, that kind of takes a lot of that safety side of it. And like I said, currently there's kids over there playing wiffle ball with no backstop to stop. You might get 2 or 3 foul balls this direction that are landing in this area.
So
you would provide equipment too?
The way I've seen most of them is they'll just put a couple of those cheap wiffle ball bats and wiffle balls in the dugouts. Like I said, if somebody steals it, it's really not a mountain of money. And you don't want somebody to get up there and there's nothing they don't have with the wall bat or balls to use. I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of other stuff. I mean, people can play kickball up there. I've seen, like I said, soccer, especially if it's a turfed area, could be in that area. Families with kids, if they just want to let their kids run around. Obviously, we've got the park here, but they can run around in that area. I could see teams probably even going over, or not teams, but individuals going over here and hitting some ground balls. especially this time of year when sometimes we have snow on some fields. On a turf, if it's a turf field, the snow will be gone way earlier. So I can see people going over there and having some ground balls and messing around over there earlier in the year than they can on other fields. So
I like the idea because on the playground, a lot of times it's younger kids,
mm-hmm.
but the older kids don't have anything to do. So
mm-hmm.
they're over there where really
yeah.
the equipment's too small for them and they tend to
yeah, you've seen the last
hurt the little kids.
Yeah, you've seen
you
the
know,
last
it'd be nice
years.
To have something for, to me, it would there would be something for all ages.
CJ, how does this normally work? When we get ready to do the budget, do we rediscuss it at that point, or?
Yeah, I think if it's something the park board wants to explore further, I can work with the youth organizations and explore different grant options and then kind of come up with what we think we could get through donations or grants, and if we need to do any match to offset anything, then we can try to work that into the budget. But we'll be starting that process in another couple of months.
My comments would be, you know, I think it's a great idea. Obviously, keeping those kids safe is number one priority. But obviously, you know, I think if you're going to do it, the best option is to do it right, do it as well as you can. But then again, that brings in, like you're talking, is it going to be grants, funding, someone going to donate, whatever? I think, you know, you really have to have a better picture of that before we can move forward. You know, but I think it's a great idea.
But there's no use going for a grant if we're going to say no
to
the
true,
location.
True.
So, yeah, they need to know this is a possibility. I'm all for it. The location, I know at one time the schools used to have a one day, I don't know if it was a run or whatever, Arbor Parks, but they used to do it where the playground was. So I think that option, I don't even know if they go up there anymore.
They do it at the school now, they just run around.
They do it at the high school field.
Okay.
On the high school turf field.
Okay.
And that's my biggest concern, obviously, about the space was just if we keep making this bigger, then it really, there's a lot of stuff in this area, but there's, I think if we do it the right size, that 85 to 100, then there's plenty of space where you've got the 20 to 30 foot between here, you've got, you know, 15 to 20 foot between here. There's obviously other,
but
if it's something we like as a town, then we can always look at other options on site as well and see if there's something better too. So
my only concern is I got no problem with a wiffle ball there,
mm-hmm.
but if kids start bringing in baseballs and we're launching them straight at the playground.
Yeah, and that's why that's why I said if we're not really planning on using it for leagues. If we were planning on using it for like a T-ball or even a coach pitch league, we'd probably look more, if it was this area, we'd look at more backstop this way, and worst case, the kids are hitting this way.
Yeah,
and it's coming out here. But
I mean, if it's just open, kids are going to have baseballs because they're coming to a baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my only concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we could, I'm not as concerned as if a coach goes out there and hits them a few ground balls so they can throw, you know, practice infield on it. It's just older kids coming in and being able to launch baseballs towards the the playground. But and I don't know if there's a way of saying, hey, this is a wiffle ball field. Only use wiffle balls here.
I think on some signage, obviously a lot of signage just says wiffle balls only. Providing wiffle balls on the field, I think, is important because then it's there. But no, I completely agree on we don't want kids there. I mean, we see all kinds of things. I saw kids up there hitting golf balls the other day off the tee ball field towards the cemetery. I'm like, kicked them out of there. It's like you see all kinds of stuff that kids think is okay to try to do right away.
Otherwise, I think it's great location because it keeps an open space on that area. So, I mean, yeah, it could be used for other things, even though it's a wiffle ball field. It could still be used for just running around in there.
Any other questions?
Is there maintenance to turf?
Not much, no. I mean, there's a chance that the turf will get ripped or something, but most of those turf installers usually have, like, an 8-year warranty if something would rip. There's really not much maintenance on the turf side. And it gets rid of your water costs, your mowing costs, your chalking and dragging costs, all that stuff, so. All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sweeney. Item number 6, discussion regarding adjusting cemetery fees and rules and permitting multiple cremations per burial lot.
Thank you, Chairman.
So I don't have any real presentation for you tonight. Just kind of wanted to touch base. We met with the ad hoc committee a couple weeks ago with some representatives from the Camelon Funeral Home. I think we kind of came up with more questions than answers, maybe. That's a good way to put it. Or maybe wanted to come back and widen our scope a little bit. The conversation we had with them, I think there's more than just looking at the number of cremations or burials that we'll allow on the space. I think it'd be a good time to look at that, but also revisit the entire rule book to make sure that we're bringing everything up at the same time and kind of staying on par with other cemeteries. And then also looking at our fee structure and where we stand compared to other cemeteries. So right now, we hire a contractor to dig the graves. They charge $500. We charge the families $550. So the city's not making, you know, really any money on those grave openings, because cemetery staff does. There's usually one or two staff members there to help facilitate digging, get the truck in, we'll do the layouts, and then there's also laying out for the headstones and assisting with the funeral. So James is going to take some time over the next couple weeks to kind of compare to what other cemeteries are doing, and we'll bring that all back to you. So again, no action tonight, but my recommendation would be that we continue with that same ad hoc group and just kind of dig into the whole entire cemetery rule book and pricing, then come back to you with a recommendation in March or April. Any questions for me on that?
Thanks to the committee.
That work for you guys?
All right. Then proceeding on to item number 7, report from the Administrator of Public Works, Mr. Hinton.
That'd be me. Thank you. I don't have a whole lot. James was out, had to leave early today, couldn't make it tonight. But I know they've been working on renovating all the floors in several of the bathrooms. So if you haven't been, I know Generations Park got done, the Depot bathroom, and Steyer Park. But it's kind of like a epoxy garage floor coating that has the flakes in it. It looks excellent. We'll find out how well it works for traction this summer at Generations Park, because that was one of the concerns just with wet feet with the splash pad being there. But it looks fabulous. They did a really good job. And I don't know if you noticed, over the last couple weeks they've been doing some cleanup at Rhodes Park. If everybody remembers, there used to be a, I don't know if it was an information kiosk or what, it was gone before my time. And just in conversations with the mayor, we decided we'll clean that old slab out of there. Well, little known to us, there was a crawl space with plumbing and sewer and electrical and water lines in there. So the job ended up being a little bit more than they had hoped for, but I think they got everything looking pretty good. I noticed this morning it was all leveled off. So the only other thing I was going to mention is the city is right now has a solicitation out for RFQs for our comp plan, and the city about a year ago received a grant for the Safe Streets for All plan, and that will give us it's called a comprehensive safety action plan for pedestrian transportation in town. So we're going to have those two plans coming up probably 12 to 18 months, and there's going to be involvement from the park board and general public on both of those plans to help kind of shape transportation and an overall comp plan for the city. But there'll definitely be some involvement of parks, bike trails, things like that. So might be some opportunities for you to jump in on some of those things. That's all I got. You guys have any questions for me?
I think the staff's doing a phenomenal job. The parks look good.
Yep.
Maintenance.
Things are looking good. It's helped they've had a pretty mild winter so far, so get caught up on some stuff. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And if there's nothing else that we need to discuss, do I have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.